Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson. Lori spends her days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. She talks to students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. She's here to share their stories along with other insights with you. So let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Lori, and once again, I am joined by Sydney Peterson. Welcome, Sydney.
Thank you. Happy to be here again.
I know. I'm so excited to have you. So today, we are going to talk about something that has been everywhere in the news, especially here in Texas, and that is the new voucher-style education program, officially called an Education Savings Account, or ESA. This is brand new to Texas, and this is something that has been, I think they approved it like last year sometime, would you say?
Yeah, they announced it sometime in the middle of last year, but didn't really give anyone any information. So we've just kind of been going blindly until they said, oh, February, it's open.
And now it's like a complete, everyone's like scrambling. So
it is.
Texas is new to this conversation, but many of our listeners come from across the country, and voucher programs have already been expanding in a lot of states. Families are hearing words like vouchers, school choice, ESAs, and educational freedom accounts, but most parents are asking very practical questions. What does this actually mean for my child? So
exactly.
We're getting that question for sure. If your child has a disability, an IEP, which stands for an individualized education plan through a public school, if they have dyslexia, if they have ADHD, if they have autism, any learning disability or disability diagnosis, the questions for parents become much more urgent. So today we want to break this down. This is not legal advice. I feel like I should say that. Even though I think I've watched enough true crime, I probably could stand in as a lawyer, but this is not legal advice. Programs vary widely by state, but our goal today is to help families understand the big picture, the opportunities, and especially the important special education considerations.
Absolutely. Yep. There's really not a guidebook anyone got. You know, we also are learning this, you know, the last week or two. We have been doing so much research because we didn't really know anything about it until we started getting calls. So it's new for us too.
No, we didn't. We didn't. And the reason that we're getting calls is because of the fact that students with disabilities, we're going to get to this here in a second, but there's a piece of this whole program that applies to kids with disabilities, learning disabilities. And so a lot of parents have been reaching out to us. And so now I feel like it might be time for us to make sure we're understanding all of the different aspects. So let's start with the very, very basics. What are vouchers and ESAs? That's a good place to start.
Yep.
Traditionally, a voucher program means the state's providing money that a family can use to pay for private school tuition. Bottom line, an education savings account, or ESA, is a little bit different. Instead of only covering tuition, ESA funds go into an account that families can use for a wider range of educational services. So this could include your private school tuition, but it could also include tutoring, curriculum if you're homeschooling, online programs, or even certain therapies. The idea behind all of this is school choice, giving families options outside the traditional public school system. Over the last decade, more and more states have actually adopted these programs, which I think I've heard of. I didn't realize how many states were actually doing it, though.
No, I mean, we don't really know that. Like, the last year was the first time we'd really ever heard about it.
Yeah, it really literally hit home. So what's interesting is that every state's program works a little bit different. No two states are identical in how they do their vouchers or their savings accounts. So it's super important for families to understand the specific rules as to where they live, right? So let's just start with what's new in Texas, because that's where we live and that's what we're going to talk about first. So recently we've passed our own Education Savings Account, or ESA, program, and it's called the Texas Education Freedom Account. We're calling it TEFA because everything has to have an acronym.
Absolutely.
Applications actually opened like tomorrow. So today is Tuesday the 3rd, on February 4th. Is when the application process starts, and it's going to be very competitive, especially in these first couple of years, because everyone's like super excited about it. All they hear is like money that I can spend on my kids' education. bring it, right?
Do we have an expected number of how many people they're going to let in kind of in this first rolling application? Or is it, do we have any idea?
No, because don't have any idea. All we know is that right now we have limited funding. So if more families apply than there are available funds, we're going to use the lottery system. So most regular education students are expected to receive around $10,000 per year. Okay. And that means that they can use that $10,000 to go towards tuition. They can use it for tutoring, therapies, all the things we talked about. Students with disabilities who are in public school right now and have a current individualized education plan, so they have an IEP, they're receiving support mm-hmm. through special education, they actually are going to be able to receive more. Potentially, I have heard the number $30,000. This extra amount is meant to help cover specialized support. So the additional therapies, the additional tutoring, and all that good stuff. And in Texas, those funds can be used for more than just the tuition, right? So homeschool materials, assistive technology, we went through that list. But here's the question. Can your child, since this ESA fund doesn't only have to be used for tuition, right? It can be used for all these other things. Can your child stay in the public school and just use those funds for extra tutoring?
Great question.
I would say in most cases, the answer is really no, which kind of makes sense because aren't we taking money, in theory, from the public school for this child and giving it away. So now you've kind of lost your spot, I guess is how I would look at it, right?
Right.
I don't know if that's how they would describe it, but that's my way I'd explain it.
That's our understanding.
Typically, yeah, that's how we get it. Typically, if you participate in one of these programs, in the ESA program, it requires leaving the public schools. Now, what if your child is receiving special education? So, it's really hard. You have to really can take some deep thought and some consideration. Mm-hmm. What families must understand if your child has a disability, this is where you want to listen very carefully. There are two separate issues families need to understand. Access to the program and special education rights once you leave public schools. Mm-hmm. First, like we talked about earlier, Texas is going to offer the lottery priority for certain students with documented disabilities, even if they don't have a current IEP. So the kids that have a current IEP, they get the extra funds. The kids who are in private school but have or homeschooled but have a documented disability, like all the kids that we see or a lot of the kids that we see, their disability or the documentation of their disability will get them priority in the lottery. So it doesn't get you the extra funds, but it does give you kind of a leg up. So mm-hmm. as expected, I am sure there are going to be way more people that apply for this than there are funds available, especially because it's new and it's exciting. So the priority is going to be kind of a big deal, right? To get that mm-hmm. kind of a, I guess, I don't know how that would look, but somehow it gives you
a leg up.
Yeah. I don't know if you get like five extra tickets in the drawing. Like, I don't know how it works, but you get a priority. A child with, so let's go, for example, a child who has dyslexia, ADHD, autism, or a learning disability can receive priority in the lottery if they provide the right documentation, which basically means you have to give them a copy of the report and this awesome form that we get to fill out along with it. However, the second piece is critical. Priority access is not the same as higher funds. Mm-hmm. Students with an IEP, so kids who are already in special education through a public school, they are the only ones that get the bigger chunk of money, okay?
Yes. Now, that's very important to understand.
Mm-hmm. It is very big. But here's where I really struggle, though, is what happens under the special education law. Let's talk a little bit about special education law because it's a federal law. And the federal law says that public schools are required to provide a free and appropriate public education to all students, including students with disabilities. And we call that FAPE. That's another awesome special ed acronym. Free, acronym. Appropriate public education. This includes mm-hmm. an enforceable IEP and all required related services under special education, right? So mm-hmm. your occupational therapy, your speech therapy, all of that falls under that special education umbrella as part of your free yep. and appropriate public education. Private schools aren't held to those same standards.
Yep, absolutely. They do not have to do
that. They are not required. No, they don't have to give mm-hmm. you anything.
No, they don't.
In theory, they do. I mean, a lot. I mean, people, you know, schools have learned, obviously, that they're missing a large chunk of the population by not. But so the majority mm-hmm. of private schools are offering some level of support, but certainly not the extent.
They're not legally obligated to.
Nope. And it's definitely not to the extent that what you can get through a public school. So when a family leaves public schools to participate in the ESA program. The child may lose the enforceable right to an IEP. IEPs do not automatically transfer to a private school. Private schools are not required to provide the full range of services. However, that does not mean children can't get help, but it does mean that the families may become responsible for arranging and funding the services privately. That sounds like a lot more work, right? So if you're getting speech therapy through your public school under your IEP and you choose to use these funds to go to a private school, well, now you're going to be responsible for obtaining your private therapy.
Yep.
Because the private school is not.
So if you're doing it privately, so you moved to the private school and now you are responsible for finding a speech therapist outside of the school system, would that voucher funds cover any of those private speech therapy services?
They would, absolutely. However, if you think about, yeah, they would. And if you get the $30,000, I mean, private schools are no joke, right? So there's not going to be a lot left over, but yes, you could put it towards that. This is probably, so this next part is a part that I really have struggled to wrap my brain around. And I think I figured out a way to explain it, but we'll see. We'll see if you under, let's see, Sydney, you can be my test subject. Okay. So child find, does the district still have responsibility? Let's talk about what is child find. Under the federal law, which is IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, public school districts have an obligation called child find. Child find means the district must identify and evaluate children with suspected disabilities who live within their district boundaries. So if your school district, any child in your district boundaries, it is your responsibility to identify the kids that have disabilities and evaluate them. That could be somebody that's being homeschooled. It could be somebody in a private school, somebody in some kind of alternative setting. As long as they live within your bounds as a district, you are responsible by law. But here's the key point. Using your ESA funds does not eliminate the district's child find obligation, which I think is kind of crappy because you're taking the money away from the district, yet you're still expecting them to be responsible for every child in their district.
But you're taking the funds from the public school, but still expect them to provide those same services, even though you're taking the funds to
now
do
it's
those
not
services.
The only service is families can still request an evaluation.
Right.
The district must still evaluate and determine eligibility. But child find is different from FAPE, a free and appropriate public education. I can evaluate you and I can tell you that you have a learning disability. I am not obligated to serve you if you're using these ESA funds.
Right.
So their obligation is only to identify, not to serve. Kind of interesting, isn't
it? It is very interesting.
So child find is about the identification. FAPE, which is free and appropriate public education, is about guaranteed service. Once a child is parentally placed in a private school, the district is not required to provide the full IEP services unless the child returns to public school.
Gotcha.
Instead, the child can be offered a limited service plan depending on what the district provides through their proportionate federal funding. So there are sometimes like speech therapy you can get through your public school. You still have to be in charge of the transportation to and from.
Right.
And it has to be during the school day, right? Like the speech therapist at the public school isn't going to stay late so that you could take your child there after they get done at their private school to get therapy.
Right.
It's going to have to be during the school day. But this is why families have to think very, very carefully before you ditch your special education services.
It's a lot to consider. There's a lot of moving parts that is not easy to understand, even for us. Like as we're talking about this right now, it's still...
I mean, but you have a good gig. If your child is under the special education umbrella and they're receiving support services from a variety of providers as part of their school day, why would you give that up? Why would you then want to be the one to have to be the coordinator of all that?
Well, the position that we're in, I mean, even when you're meeting with parents for follow-up meetings and they have a public in the private school setting, a lot of the times you might make recommendations that they enroll their child in a public school so that they can access those services. So a lot of the times we are making recommendations for public school because of what they can offer. So you really have to take into account now that, you know, the public school has great special education services, but it's hard. It's you got to weigh your options.
Does every school have great special education services?
Debatable.
I mean, that's debatable, right? Like, I think some parents would tell you, no, I could do it better myself.
Depends on the district.
But in the grand scheme of things, right. But in the grand scheme of things, you have the access to the services, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So because I know that our listeners come from across the country, let's kind of zoom out a little bit. Some states have very broad ESA, educational savings account programs. Arizona is a major example. Arizona's program is kind of close to universal access. Florida has one of the largest scholarship systems with significant disability-focused funding. Other states like Indiana and Ohio have programs with more restrictions. Texas is starting with caps and a lottery, so access may be more limited at first. But across states, one theme is consistent. Leaving public school usually changes your protection under that Individuals with Disability Education Act. Yep, families absolutely. Get some flexibility, but they lose those enforceable rights because a private school is not by law required to enforce. You cannot enforce or make them serve your child for their disability or for whatever needs they might have. So what parents should consider before they just jump right in and use these funds? Here are the most important questions to ask. What services does my child currently receive through an IEP? I mean, let's start there, right? Let's think about what are they getting, and then what services would I, as the parent, need to replace privately? I mean, that right there could be like a deal breaker.
Absolutely, yeah.
Another question. Will the private school provide accommodations or specialized instruction? Now, we did a podcast, Abby and I did, like back in the beginning, where we broke down the difference between accommodation and modifications, where accommodations are how we, you know, accommodate a student and kind of help level the playing field. Modifications are where we're changing the curriculum to meet their needs at a lower level typically. So will your private school accommodate or will they modify? Will they provide dyslexia therapy if your child has dyslexia? Some private schools do, some don't. Public schools, well, in Texas, public schools do. I'm not going to speak for every state because I'm learning quickly. That's not the case. But
I will say in the grand scheme of private schools, they are far more likely to provide accommodations rather than modifications, to my understanding. Even if they're informal, you know, giving a student preferential seating at the front of a classroom, you know, just on a teacher by teacher basis, if they know a student's struggling, they're going to be like, yeah, sure, we'll do that. But modifications are going to be a lot more difficult in the private school setting.
Unless you are going to a private school that's specifically designed for kids with learning differences.
Very true.
This is probably a moot point if that's, the plan.
There's quite a lot of them out there.
Especially around here. Absolutely. So if that is the plan,
then go for it.
Even though I still think speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, those kinds of things, I think even in those settings aren't as commonly offered or ever, but dyslexia therapy, yeah. And obviously accommodations and modifications, that is part of a private school that only serves kids with learning differences.
Yes.
So then how will tutoring and therapy providers be approved? So what if you want to have your therapist show up at the private school? Is that going to be okay? Will the school let you? How do you get them approved by the private school? And then what happens if your child just isn't making it in the private school and they need to return to the public school? Is that going to be an option once you take that money? Are you stuck there for the full year because you sure'd hate to get there and realize this was a big mistake and now I'm stuck and my child's going to suffer for the rest of this school year?
Which unfortunately is a problem I foresee.
Yes, I totally agree because it sounds amazing.
A lot of people is, you know, jumping in the gun. It does. In theory, you know, it sounds fantastic, but unfortunately, because there's not this like really open source information about this program, I think what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to jump into it. They're going to put their kid in private school and they're not going to realize that a lot of those really, really nice supports that they got in public school are not available.
Exactly. So I think that for some families, the ESA funding will open the door to supports they could not otherwise afford.
Yep.
For other families, especially children with more intensive needs, staying in public school may continue to provide better protection and guaranteed services. So families should not rush this decision. This is a major decision. Consult your child's IEP team, the diagnosticians, the advocates, the special education professionals. Talk to them before you pull the plug.
Absolutely.
Okay, so these programs are expanding. I don't think Texas will be the last state to add it.
Certainly not.
I think this is more of a domino. I think more and more states are picking up on this. And so I think this is something that will eventually affect a lot more people than it is now. Even though, I'm very surprised at how many states offer these programs. But it's a lot of information, and it's so important to do your homework and ask the right questions. The goal is always going to be the same. We want to make sure that every child receives the support they need that so that they can learn and thrive no matter what setting they're in. So I know this is going to leave our listeners with more questions. We've actually developed a little handout that we're gonna put in the show notes that kind of overviews everything we talked about today that you are welcome to print. But also our next episode, we're going to dive a little deeper into what families with students that have disabilities must know when it comes to this program. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Individuals with Disability Education Act. We're going to talk a little bit more about a free and appropriate education and sort of what that means for each child when you're thinking about taking this jump into private school. And again, you hear about the money they're giving. It sounds amazing.
Yep.
But is it absolutely the very best thing for your student?
Depends on your student, absolutely. So we will provide you with that handout. Hopefully that will give you some much needed clarity on some of those real big questions. And then as we learn more, you know, we'll make content, we'll make, you know, more episodes about it, because this is not just a small one episode topic that we can cover everything today. So as we learn more, we will provide you with information.
Absolutely. So keep touch on our Facebook page and our podcast page, obviously, all of our socials, our website, so that you guys can stay up to date with this information. You guys always know you can reach out to us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com if you have questions. But hopefully this gives everybody just a little bit of an overview of this new system and has alleviated a little bit of the stress and given you something to think about. So I hope everybody has a great day. Sydney, thank you for helping me run through this. And
happy to.
And I appreciate you being here today. And we will be back next time, like I said, to dig in a little bit deeper. But for now, you got a little something to marinate on. So I hope everyone has a great day. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.